Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to The Mac Show. Yes, all things Mac is being discussed. Kelly is about to lose it completely. And we've got a fantastic panel. Starting top left, we've got no Don McAllister. He must be jet-lagged, I think, at the moment, after his trip down to Oz. But DHM has stepped in manfully. How you doing, pal?
Good. Excellent.
In the curtain room.
In the curtain room, back just shoved into the corner.
Good man.
Freezing.
Know your place, mate.
I know.
So not only can... I bet the heating's on when she's in there, isn't it?
It is, yes. We've got a big heater down the other end of the room. I've got a big heater too, but it's like a 27-inch flat panel in front of me.
Yeah, are you not allowed to run it, though, if she's not in there?
What, the
heating? Yeah.
No. What I do is I go into the terminal and I ramp the CPUs on the iMac up to full, leave them locked on 100%, and then put my hands on the top of the iMac, and it's quite effective.
Excellent, excellent. You should need a hutch in the garden next, I think.
A hutch.
Dr. Happy Max. Dr. Hutchy Mac. Next to him, making a welcome return after a little while away, it's Andy and Atko. Diaries haven't clashed, have they, lately? But
you're back. No, and I'm glad that we're able to put our issues behind us and move forward, you know.
Make it up like men. What?
Don't you start. How long have I been back on the show and already you're starting?
You've got a different location there, mate. It's not the sunny garden view out the back. What's happened? Is that in front of you now?
No. This is the ongoing evolution of trying to figure out how to podcast from your house. And Rex, the first idea was, well, I'm going to use like nice natural lighting, like from this beautiful like back porch that's all glassed in. Before realizing that because the porch like faces west. That means that like I get blasted at 2 o'clock, and over the next 2 hours it doesn't. So the next idea was okay, we'll black off that curtain, and then I had to black off the curtain behind me, and now I finally get actual decent lighting by making this into a dark space and putting in like actual real lights.
Oh God, you're in the basement effectively.
Now I'm like, well, I could get my sun porch back if I just moved to use the spare bedroom that I don't spend any time in whatsoever because it gets no light whatsoever. So after like 4 years, I'm sort of right back to, why don't we just podcast from the dark? Where I podcast from on a mental basis each and every time.
And based on the amount of Apple news there is this week, I'm glad you brought your ute with you, mate.
You might have to fill, yes.
We'll be doing it. Yeah, don't worry. Beneath Andy, we've got Kelly. From the unofficial Appleware blog, Angry Mac Bastards podcast. How you doing, girl?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm all right. How's the week been?
Long.
Long? You've had a day off yesterday.
Yeah, but before that, I spent 2 days elsewhere because there was some sort of plumbing problem at my house, and so I couldn't be here. And then we had Thanksgiving at my house yesterday, so Mr. Kelly and I made dinner. And it was almost canceled. We almost had to take everything and move to a different location. And then it got uncanceled because we actually got things fixed. And so good. I was able to have Thanksgiving here. And now I think actually trying to tiptoe out of bed and be quiet actually woke him up because he's off today as well. So
Kelly's plumbing. We have a title already. And last but by no means least, Screeny Boy. How you doing, mate?
Oh, very well. Thank you very much.
Go on, what's been happening?
The whole week I've spent my time in Final Cut Pro 10.
Right.
And I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a great application. It was rubbish when they first released it, and they've updated it, and I'm really, really loving it now. It's great.
It did have some glitches, but one of the things that they've done now is the first thing I noticed was when I wanted to share out my video, you've got to go back to the file menu and come down to share, and then you've got to figure out that it wants to put out a main file rather than the predetermined stuff that you've got out there. You've unlearned a few commands here, haven't you?
You sort of have, but in some ways I prefer it over, because I work with compressor as well, and I tried...
you said compressor was shite.
I do say compressor is shite, because it is. It is. But with the latest updates, let's get it right. So I used to use compressor, now I don't use compressor because it's shit, and now I use Final Cut Pro's export utility, which is much better. I can't be on my own with this. I can't be, can I? Or am I?
I don't know. I mean, anyone else use Final Cut much? Nope, there you go then.
That's all that we have. This lonely wilderness.
Before the show, Will says, are we going to talk about Final Cut Pro? Yeah, all right, we'll talk about the change of Final Cut Pro. There you go. Did you want to hear it again? We're done.
There's other updates. There's tons of updates. I reckon it's the best update to Final Cut Pro since the initial release, and it's made it faster, slicker.
What kind of pisses me off about Apple with codecs and stuff, and then we could have a general conversation about this and everyone can jump in, is the fact that they never seem to embrace any other codec apart from what they want to push out. And I know that's very Apple anyway, but if you're going to output to different formats and you're going to have a string of formats that you can output to, you'd like to be able to very intuitively and easily control the bit rate of what you're pushing out. So for me, when I make the podcast, I end up pushing out a 7 gig file, which is the movie that I've made from everything that I've recorded that day. And then I have to shove it through Handbrake. And There's nothing intuitive in Final Cut Pro that lets you shove out a 300 kilobit per second file or a 400 kilobit per second file and keep the file size down. You've always got to use a third-party application. And that just, I find that really frustrating. And with Apple in general, you look at Logic, it pushes out the file it wants to push out almost.
Well, I wish they would put a WMV push out there, render it in WMV. Because we live in this multi-platform world, and virtually everybody else is using Windows, aren't they? And so I have to push it out, and then I use,
WMV is a dog to start with, though, because even if you push it out in WMV, it still won't play on everything that Windows offers.
Yeah, most of the corporations still are Windows based, and if you're creating a video for them before you sort of render it, in full, they want to see sort of snapshots of how you're progressing and edits and stuff like that. And most of the time, I think they want it in WMV, but. And it's only when you get to the final edit that you can render it properly and push it out in whatever format you want. Because otherwise, something like a 7 or 8 minute video will render in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you can't do that on every edit, can you?
No, absolutely. Doesn't look like what everyone wants to talk about video then, so we'll move on.
No, I know.
I'm learning. I'm learning. It's a learned thing.
I iPad Mini has been out for a few weeks now, and the 3G versions should be arriving today. No, the 4G versions, the SIM card ones. Is that the same in the States? UPS are out today?
Rumors, I don't know about UPS, rumors were a few days ago that Apple stores were planning on having them in store today, in addition to the 4G iPad 4. So I have not, I have been basically, this morning I fried an egg and put it on a piece of toast and ate it. I caught up on email. I thought about the pie that was in the fridge. I have not done very much more in terms of keeping on top of today's news. So.
No. But I just saw a couple of tweets from people saying that yesterday they were promised by UPS here in the UK that they were going to be delivered today, delivered yesterday rather, and everyone knew they weren't coming until today. But my point would be that we've now got both versions of iPad Mini out there. And in terms of cases, we've started to see keyboard cases coming out now. There's a few that are popping up on the market. Now, speaking as a bloke with a big set of Porky Pudge sausages for fingers, the Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard I loved. I thought it was great, and it's just the right size for my fingers. It scares the hell out of me to think of a keyboard that's coming out for the Mini.
Yeah, I don't get the point of that unless you want your cat to be able to type. Even then, like, they don't have the long, like, extended fingers in order to make that work. I've seen them. I have a couple of companies have threatened to send me one to try out, but I've never even the keyboard cases for the regular iPad, that's not a slam dunk that you're going to make a keyboard that's actually typable. So I just don't get that at all.
No.
You could knock off the keys that people don't use, like X, Y, and Z or something like that, and then you could make it, like, smaller. but don't, same size keys.
Don't give Apple any ideas. Can't you imagine like a keynote event in which we said, we made the keyboard smaller, which is what customers wanted, by eliminating the letters that only 5% of users ever actually use. You're welcome.
Jobs would have done that. Jobs would have said you're typing it wrong.
There are too many vowels anyway.
Who needs to spell lazy with the Z when you can spell it with two S's?
Yes. We're introducing the new decimal alphabet. 10 letters and numbers. You're welcome. On that background of white, we think it's the best alphabet that's ever been created.
And it's thin.
It's the funniest alphabet ever created.
This alphabet is 10 letters thin.
It also reduces storage problems, increases the net bandwidth of a 4G connection. We honestly think that every single computing device will switch to our new decimal alphabet.
It's 1984 and thought...
It's actually like 19Z because there's no 4 anymore.
Name of your competitor's products, then you can't think about them anymore.
Wind Rider in the chat room says the letters will be A, P, L, and E, of course. Saxus says thinner, faster, faster, thinner, thinner, thinner. I've made a keynote. And Claw in the chat room says it'll be called the Decibet. Very good.
There's actually a Saturday Night Live sketch exactly like that in the 70s.
Bugger, I thought we were original there. No, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a lack of enthusiasm for accessories around the iPad Mini. You can get like a screen thing that will hold the, you know, screen protector. You can get they really haven't grasped the idea of a holder that's functional yet. The smart cover's a bag of hurt. I hate that piece of plastic. It's awful. And they ripped me off for it. And to send that there's going to be keyboards coming out, Bluetooth keyboards coming out. Oh man. What I need is a fill plate. So I can carry my big Logitech one around, and there's a fill plate that makes it the same size. But then that kind of defeats the object.
Because he's busy. He's got his own job.
Who's that?
Phil Plate, the astronomer.
Right, okay.
Astronomer, yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Andy knows him.
He's a friend. I've actually hung out with him on several times. He introduced me to Randy, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty damn cool. I'm very...
Well, obviously, Dr. Happy Mac wants a date. See if you can pass his number on.
Yeah, because he knows Jerry Ryan.
Really? No, I'm more interested all of a sudden.
There we go.
Anyone that knows Jerry Ryan's a friend of mine.
If there's like a Kevin Bacon game for like nerds, then Phil Plate is that Kevin Bacon. Because if you know Phil, you know by no more than 2 degrees of separation every really cool nerd. Because he knows the Mythbusters. He knows Gail Simone from DC Comics. It's like, he's a good guy to know.
And he's a Mac user, I would imagine. Is he not?
And also a very, very happy Mac user.
Oh, blimey. Can we get back to Jerry Ryan?
I think Andy's got a huge picture, right, of a guitar and everything else. He's put behind him, and he's just cut out a little square next to where the monitor is, and that's the real house. What do you think?
What, you think that's a backdrop behind, and it's a cutout of the photo?
Yes, I think that's what he's done. I think he's so that all of it is just a big picture, except for the monitor bit where he's
at the far end. That's actually a pipe organ. He's aboard the Nautilus.
He's on this huge chrome sort of spaceship, and it's
what the hell is that?
Should have gone before the show.
It was his distillery.
No, it's my daughter's kettle, and it's got to be the most annoying thing in the world because if you tip it, it makes that sound. It's supposed to. How annoying is that? But there's no off switch.
No, there isn't. And if you put that in a toy box and it's at the bottom and it falls over, then you've got to get everything out to put it back. There we go.
Yeah, I've really hurt with that one.
I get back to see if we can do an Apple podcast. That would be cool if we possibly could. I'm gonna be picky, but
let's
try
it.
Yeah, iPad Mini accessories. They're all crap. There was cool stuff coming out at this kind of time for the iPad just a couple of weeks in, but they're all crap.
But I think that's going to change because remember the first iPad accessories were also crap because none of the manufacturers had their hands on one. They knew vaguely what the dimensions were going to be. I think once people have actually the ability to drop these things in a mold, we'll see better cases. I really would love to see like a Moleskine type case for the iPad mini because it really is more of a sketchbook sort of shape. And when I got something like that for the Samsung Note 2, that was like, oh, now I get it. This no longer looks like this no longer feels like an enormous phone. This now feels like a digital Moleskine.
Yeah, I've got one of those gel skins that fits really close to it, and they're really tacky as well. And they're really nice to hold, but the problem is you stick them in your coat pocket, because that's the beauty now. I can stick this on the inside pocket of my coat, so I haven't got to worry. You know, the iPad 3 didn't do that. But the problem is now I come it out, and it's covered in hairy bits and stuff from the inside of my pocket and lint and things like that. There's got to be a happy medium. Come on, manufacturers.
There's the old joke about the happy medium, isn't there? You know.
Oh God! Don't. I'm not doing any editing this weekend.
You know, you go to have your whatever your palm red and stuff, and it's a happy medium.
Moving on.
Okay.
eBay has set up an Apple refurbished. Thanks, mate. Is it publishable though?
Yeah. Good. What is that?
Oh, go on. Tell us the joke about the happy medium then. But no, if you make me edit, I'll be around there, boy.
No, it's not a rude joke. It's about like a medium who's happy.
No, as, you
know,
really,
like, as in spiritual, you know, as in ghosty. Happy medium.
Was that the joke?
That says very poor things about that person's character if they are encouraging people to believe a fraud about the afterlife and to give them connections to their deceased relatives that are completely fraudulent. If they're happy about that, I just feel sorry for them. I really do.
I beat him up after. Don't worry.
I'm just saying. It's like since there's no Apple news, we could get into a nice little like ethical philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
Was she a medium rare in a world where the stakes were high?
Hey!
Oh, my life! Oh, thank God for editing.
You leave that in, Frank.
Yes.
Now let's bring out your headliner.
eBay have got their own Apple certified refurbished product. So all the stuff that's genuine Apple that's going to come out, you're going to get a full one-year warranty with everything that's posted there. It's going to be like new. It's all the refurb stuff that's come back in. And you should be getting some cracking deals here. I mean, got anyone salivating or is this a logical step or what? Oh, that's good podcasting.
Okay, I'll just say, I've been talking too much. It's like the one good thing about Black Friday is that it's the one time a year when like when your friends ask you, hey, do Apple products ever go on sale? You say, yes, you can save almost $50 on a $2,000 laptop if you wait another couple of weeks for this one day sale. So it's good to have at least one outlet where if someone says, gee, I really would like to get a $500 iPad, but I do not have $500 to spend on an iPad, but I'm willing to wait for the prices to come down a bit. Then you can actually point them to a refurb, and I have bought refurbished Apple equipment before. It works great. You can still take it to any Apple store for service. You still get a warranty with it.
Yeah,
great stuff.
I have to say, I mean, every time I've had something break and I've taken it back in, and Apple have said, "Ah, bad. Here's a new one." The out of the brand packet has always never failed. I've got brand new stuff fails. I've had several fail, but the brown packet stuff has never failed. Kelly, any thoughts? Because you haven't said a word yet, apart from hello.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a good thing. I think that it's just another outlet for people to use because not a lot of people, I think, know necessarily about the official Apple Store refurbs unless they know someone like us who tells them that. And today, actually, for Apple's Black Friday sale, it's $41 off the new iPad, varying levels, $31 off the Touch, $21 off the fourth gen Touch, $11 off the Nano, and then $101 off the MacBook Air or Pro, MacBook Pro with Retina or MacBook Pro.
See, I mean, a good reduction is 10%. sale reduction's 10%, and none of those are even close. I'm not going to do the maths, but I mean, you know, you're talking less than five.
The $900 air is, or the $1,000 air is now $900, so that's 10%.
Right.
But the rest, on the rest, it's less. The only, that was the only stuff I saw that was notable, because I don't know that I've ever seen Apple take $100 off anything. So
apart from you.
Well, yes. I mean, yes, they've taken thousands off me in my
obviously
lifetime.
The Airs aren't selling then.
You know, it's the same price off, it's the same amount off everything. So I don't know what the thinking was behind that. I thought it was interesting. But yeah, and there's like a deal on the headphones, but there's not, it's not a Black Friday deal in the grand tradition of Black Friday deals, I guess.
Have you got, is there an expectation there with Black Friday that now companies, yes, especially in difficult times, are trying very hard and failing to fulfill?
Yes, the expectation is that something like a $1,000 laptop should go for about $89.
Yeah, but also the wheels. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, carry on, Andy.
No, I didn't mean. The wheel's starting to turn a little bit. Where it started out to be just this day when, just by coincidence, a lot of people decide to spend their day off going Christmas shopping. As a matter of fact, when I was in my early 20s, I'm not proud of this, but, you know.
Have you been drinking, Andy?
I'm proud of the fact that I drink before every show, but that's nothing to do with anything. But it's, you build up a lot of frustration over the course of a year driving in Boston traffic. And I don't deliberately crash into cars. I don't flip people to the bird. What I decided would make me happy is that if the day after Thanksgiving, I would show up at the mall at 7 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours before at the time anybody else would have shown up, get the best parking space in the entire mall, and then just like sit there all day while people who are frustrated looking for parking spaces keep driving past me, hoping I'm getting out of my car, but I'm not going to get out of my car. And then Black Friday sort of morphed into, oh, well, a lot of people we're having a really good sales day. Let's bring out some good sales to bring more people in. Then the sweet spot was when it would be people saying, let's take this really beautiful, really great $1,000 television set. We'll sell 50 of them at a huge loss, just so the people will come to our store instead of everybody else's. Now it really is you have to read all the fine print when all those sale notices go back on the TV on the TV set, because the fine print store. Well, not just one point store. It's like, you can get a 45-inch television set by a major name brand that you never heard of from a Korean company that went out of business 8 years ago and was formed for sort of a black country. It's now like Black Friday is almost starting to be associated with, they're going to bring out a line of absolute crap that they never sell at any other time, just so they can put in the advertiser. Here is a 10-inch tablet computer, and it is like the $49 like Android 1.6. That is roughly as fast as an Apple IIe. So I think it's like there's nothing that business people cannot ruin. They had a day in which we were voluntarily coming to your stores to shop eagerly, and they had to turn it to something where the most I got a million press releases about Black Friday deals. The most shocking one was, this is like last year was a sort of a low point in which every single newscast on Friday had stories about people getting killed and trampled because people just crushing to get in to save, you know, $100 on a really bad television set. This year, Toys R Us, you know, a big like national chain of toy stores said the first 200 people in line will get $30 in free toys.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, exactly. It's like there's
not. That's a bring a knife party.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like around, I'm sure the first 50 people in line, they'll be okay. It's when you get at the 180s, 190s in line that there's going to be mace, there's going to be tasers, there's going to be nunchucks. This is not a good day to be out of the house.
Because everybody really up the stakes. People. That's the problem, is everybody here is up the stakes. So it was initially, places would just open at a normal time on Friday. Right. And then it was like open at, normally we open at 10. So on Black Friday, we're going to open at 7. And then it became 5, and then it became eventually midnight, and then it was noon yesterday.
Oh, so Black Friday starts on Thursday.
Yeah, and the reason it's called Black Friday, this is really funny, is because that's what retail people called it. Because particularly if you work at some place like Toys R Us, where everybody's headed the day after Thanksgiving in order to get all the Christmas shopping done, it's a nightmare as a person who is staff for that store. And so it was an informal thing that retail people would call it amongst themselves, because that was, because it really was, you know, kind of an awful day, particularly if you had to work. And now they've, now hopefully this year, fingers crossed, some people are actually stopping and thinking about it and going, wait, if you're going to be open at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, that means you may not get to spend the day with your family. And so I don't think I'm going to shop there. There's been a number of places sort of trying to point that out. You know, if you do this, these people are having to give up their entire holiday just so you can get a deal on a 10-year-old Korean television. And I'm hoping that in some places that has taken effect, because it's just gotten insane. And that's actually why I'm just home today and not out somewhere.
Yeah, that's also the reason why I didn't. My editors like asked me, usually every year they ask me, can you do like a piece on Black Friday sales? And last year I finessed it by saying, well, here's how to spot the bad deals and the things you should stay away from. This year, I didn't even want to be a part of it. I mean, last year there was a chain of department stores that's actually rather nice called Target had this campaign to like get interest ahead of Black Friday by creating this character, this super shopper, like this woman who just was so obsessed with shopping and like Black Friday and buying Christmas presents that in one commercial she was just like holding the circular in her hands and just almost weeping with pleasure at the idea that she would be able to spend money to get things. And I felt that I think that 100 years from now, when the documentary on the utter downfall of the United States of America is put together, they're gonna use this clip somewhere to make some sort of very valid point about what happened to us.
Definitely. The decay of the American Empire. Will, you get to say something there.
I was, wasn't I? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. If you want to really irritate people, is parking the child... you know, there's spaces in the supermarket that are reserved for people who have got children, and you park in them without a child. It's a bit lame.
You live on the edge, don't you, Greeny?
I can top that. Here's what I would do. Like at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I would be like, of course, it's not like I'd spend the entirety inside the car, but like be in the mall. I would make some sort of trivial purchase, have them put in a bag, walk out of the mall, like take the long way to my car until I've got a trail of like five people willing to kill each other, a trail of five cars willing to like kill each other to get whatever spot. Oh, go to my car, open the trunk, put the thing in, close the trunk, like, you know, adjust my phone, and then walk back from the car back to the mall and wave to people.
That's
definitely an aggressive act that I would definitely never even try to do.
You complete bastard.
Exactly. You don't know what it's like to drive in Boston. There are people who will try to make like a left-hand turn from the right-hand lane of a three-lane road without signaling.
Well, you're speaking to a load of British people here. That sounds like a good driver. A standard maneuver.
It's these people who do not find like these safe relief valves in their lives that are the actual dangers to society. It's not harmless, but it made me feel better and it restored my batteries, allowed me to once again allow people to cut me off in traffic and, you know, go partly the wrong way down the one way street to which I actually saw someone do.
I got an idea. Brilliant. Right. Go park in one of those bays for women and children. You know, mothers and children, whatever, right? With a plastic baby in the back, finding it out for a little while, and then when everybody's really annoyed, say, it's only plastic, and then drive off.
You want to go in those two-plus lanes where you're limited to two people in the car only and put a baby in a baby seat in the back and use a plastic baby in the baby seat, and then you can go in the two-plus lane.
I can't hear what you're saying. You're breaking up.
Oh, bugger. A chat room says that Andy's evil and they like it. Am I back yet?
I can't hear anything now.
Am I back yet? Hello.
Oh, now you're back.
Now I'm back. There we go.
Everybody was Cylon-ing, like, I couldn't hear a thing for like 30 seconds.
I don't know what's going on. Andy's evil, says the chat room. I like it.
Gotta keep it better. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
You've been reading me for how long and now you're just figuring that
and
out?
And what you need to do, Will, is you need to get a baby and put it in a child seat in the back and then go down the 2-plus lane into town and they can't get you.
And I'm going to get a third leg and park in the disabled bit and say, well, I've grown an extra leg, so I'm disabled as well.
Jake the pig. Good man.
Yep. I'll get him.
Apple
or a pantomime horse for Christmas.
That's what you want, is it?
Well, if you want to PMR for Christmas, disabled thing, and pantomime horse, and say, well, I'm sorry, I was born this way.
So a pantomime horse is now a registered human defect.
I won't go down this route, shall I? I don't know.
Maybe thinking you're a pantomime horse would be a registered disability, but.
Yeah, maybe.
If a pantomime horse is like missing two legs, is that an actual like deficiency, or is it just the other guy had something else to do that day?
You could do that. If it's only you, the other two legs would be dragging behind anyway, wouldn't they? So that'll get a bit of sympathy.
Like if it's only two legs like on one side, people would say, oh, that's too bad. That's definitely okay. You can definitely park wherever you want. It's when it's just like the front half, you say, hey.
You've got to say, actually, that you would have thought that Siamese twins would be prized for the pantomime horse roles. They get more money than everyone else who does the pantomime horse roles because they're Siamese twins.
No joke. They're people with specific birth defects who are actually like in demand, like from professional stage magicians, because they would never guess that this person actually has no body below the torso.
Right.
Or that they would not guess that they actually found some. They
got a prosthetic.
They hired a model. Yeah, excuse me.
They got a prosthetic below the waist.
Right. They would not. And the audience would not guess that. Well, the only thing the only way that would be easy is if they all this time, like that model on the left, had no left leg. And no, they actually did find a model that has no left leg, specifically because it would be the most awesome trick ever. No one would ever guess the way that you did that. Gillette has a lot of really great stories about how. He says if there's a set of identical twins who are professional models anywhere in any city, every magician who tours knows exactly how to get in touch with them.
Right.
Anyway.
Cool.
I was just amazed. Someone was asking me how a certain trick was done. It was like on all over every television set, like one holiday weekend. I said, gee, the only way they could do that is if that person actually had no body below the rib cage. Then later on, it turns out, no, they actually got some guy who has no body below the rib cage too. Okay.
You got to watch The Prestige. That's a film about that kind of stuff.
That's rather
not
intense.
Really trick,
I'm not giving anything away.
There is a level of intensity to certain magicians that I don't think that many people would have matched in that case.
No.
Although more, you know, that definitely makes it easier for more Wolverine sequels.
Right. Messages. Messages is being discontinued on the beta for Lion on December 14th. You've got an email if you're a subscriber to them. We enjoyed the opportunity to preview Messages. However, get stuffed. You're not having it no more, said Apple. I'm paraphrasing. If you want it online, it's available for $19.99 on the Mac App Store.
It's worth every penny of that.
I hate Messages on other devices. Because it's just like every device I've got now is flooded with every text I receive off anyone that's on an iOS device. And it's not because I'm cheating on my wife and I'm worried about my girlfriend sending a text to my wife and her picking it up on her iPad. It's just like, I don't need this everything everywhere kind of stuff. And the default is to send it rather than you have to go and switch it off. You know, I hate it. I hate Messages. Why would you spend $20 on it?
I don't think they want to sell you. They're not trying to sell you Messages for $19.99 in the App Store. What they're trying to sell you is Mountain Lion.
Ah, right. Okay.
So it's not $20 to get texts on your Mac. It's $20 bucks to upgrade your OS so that you can have the actual version.
I've read that wrong. That's the beauty of being dyslexic.
Yeah. Also, I don't mind having all the messages everywhere. What I mind is that they're not in order. On other devices. So the place where I'm actually doing the chatting, whether it's my Mac or my iPad or my iPhone, they're in order there back and forth. Like I have a couple group texts that are ongoing. And so it'll be on my phone, it'll be, hey, when are you going to be here? I'm just leaving now. Cool. I'll see you when you get here. And then on another device, I'll pick it up and it'll go, I'll see you when you get here. When are you leaving? I'm on my way now. And then the thing that drives me nuts about notifications is, or about messages, is notifications. And it's that on all of my devices, everything goes off. And so Jeff Gamet said it best when he said, I get a text and all of a sudden my office turns into a casino. And that's really the thing that I don't like about it. And that's the thing that I wish Apple could somehow resolve with proximity alerts or something, just so that if I'm sitting here and my Mac is awake and running and doing things, and my iPad is asleep and my iPhone is asleep, and there's a text message, have the text message come to my, or an iMessage message come to my Mac. I don't need to know about it on the other two that are sitting here unused.
No.
That's what I wish I could do.
I think the thing with that as well, though, is the Apple have got a clear understanding that you buy a set of devices and then disperse them throughout your family, which is why you've got the 10 device limit for iOS and the 5 device limit for Mac OS. But they don't get that actually those devices are for other people in the sense with messages. They're just, it's like everything everywhere. And I can't, my wife's got an iPhone, but I can't get the iPhone that's connected to my iTunes account for me because I want all of my purchases to be rolled out across the family to use. I can't get her phone to work with that on messages. So her iPad that's got all of the apps that I've bought on it that she wants to use and got her emails separated and all that kind of stuff, that's all fine. But the messages app will only pick up my phone. It will not pick up any other number that I put into it. It and this is the tie-in, you know, your .Mac account, your iCloud.com account has all got to be tied together within that, and it's one person, one account, yet they obviously get the idea of you having, I mean, I clearly can't have 10 devices that I use all at once.
Mm. Right.
Even being a fanboy.
Yeah. I can't use messages because it just, communications just needs to work. If all a system did was deliver 100 characters of text, no media, no audio, no video, no pictures, no nothing, but it did it 100% reliably all the time, that would be the best type of communication system ever, because you trust that it's going to go out. The time that I try to contact people via iMessage and trust that it actually worked is just close to nil. I mean, it's not 100% failure, but it's there are enough mistakes that I just would rather, God forbid, actually pick up a telephone and create a telephone call to make sure that people know that I'm on my way or something like that.
Mm. What app do you use for that?
I don't know. It has a green button. It came free with the phone, like one of those stupid carrier pre-installs. I'm just too lazy to change it for something better. But you did have a make a good point there that it's not to sell this app. It's to sort of like, you know, sort of tease people into upgrading to the OS. That's something that's always in the back of my mind every time I hear those numbers about how, you know, only recently has Windows 7 become the dominant version of Windows, displacing Windows XP. Meanwhile, Apple is having nearly a 90% adoption rate 2 weeks after releasing the latest version of 10.8, and that's very good, and that's a really strong asset for Apple and for the Apple community. But it's not just people often point that out as a vote of confidence in the operating system, not ignoring the fact that this is how annoying Apple is, how difficult they make it for you to not upgrade to the latest operating system that's out there. That there's always going to be these tiny, tiny little things. I keep getting notifications about right now on my screen here, updates available. Your computer will restart to complete these updates. And this thing will not, I can't just simply slide this away and it will never come back. It will keep annoying me and annoying me and annoying me until, just to keep that alert from ever coming up again, I will click the button and update, even though I really don't necessarily care about these updates. So it's an indication of the difference between the way that things work on Apple and things work on other things. If Apple thinks that something is really, really important for you to do for your own good, it doesn't care about being obnoxious and annoying. It'll make sure that you do it.
System update is the worst one of all for Apple, because you get the notification that it says, do you want to install the update or do you want the details? So you have no choice but to open another window, which will sit over the top of the window that you were actually working on, especially in Final Cut. I mean, Will, you talked about Final Cut earlier on. If that notification comes up in the top, it comes in the exact place where you want to start putting text in or change between text, audio, video to start doing corrections to it. It's an awful, awful system. And you just want to go, there's no piss off button, you know, just.
And there's no, if you go to system preferences and you go to the notification center, you can drag apps in and out of notification center, but you can't drag the software update in and out of it. So it's like, stop it.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. It's hugely annoying for me, particularly because oftentimes I'm using my my Mac. I'm using Mac OS via VNC off my iPad, and so when there's a button that I need to tap on my iPad, and I'm doing it maybe even off of a 4G connection or an LTE connection, but I can't do it because I have to get rid of that updates available thing, and I can't just simply. It's harder for me to simply swipe it away because this is not. I don't have a mouse and a trackpad. This is actually a touchscreen that does sort of an inadequate job of handling swipe controls translating mouse controls into touch controls. It's like, damn, where is the button that tells this system, please never ever do that again. If you want to put a little green light in the menu bar, that's fine, but never cover up part of the interface with a dialog box about something that I personally don't. That is not anywhere nearly as important as the thing that I want to do right now.
Joe DeMax in the chat room saying it drives me insane. I turned off automatic updates as a result, which is obviously got to be a negative. You don't want to be turning off auto updates for stuff. You want it to remind you, yes, but you want to go, look, okay, I'll do it later. Okay. As if there's not enough knife crime on the streets as it is, an ex-Apple engineer, Addison Shelton, has started a Kickstarter project to come up with a Swiss Army knife as an iPhone case. these are all prototypes. It doesn't exist yet, so for God's sake, don't send me email saying, what's the link? It's got a 3-inch blade in the top, serrated. 11 other tools as well, including a bottle opener, kickstand, pliers.
God bless America, we weaponize everything.
And a 2.5...
And deep fry the rest.
It's 16 tools, apparently. There's no word on price, and there's no word on how much he needs to get for his Kickstarter project, but it went live on Wednesday, if you want to go and have a play with it. But
does it come with a T-shirt cannon?
No.
That would be cool. That would be very American. A Swiss Army knife with a T-shirt cannon attached.
No, but it is 20% high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Good. That's good to know. Good to know. I mean... there's got to be a law against this.
I think that a lot of people are going to be have some fun time in airport security when they forget what's inside their iPhone case.
Oh, well, you're never going to put that through.
And the first time TSA sees, this guy was trying to smuggle blades inside this. It looks like a normal iPhone case, but actually it's hiding all these weapons.
Yeah.
Call home. You're going to be missing your flight.
What
other gyrations are we all going to have to go through now that somebody had this case?
Yeah.
you just say that in another month it's going to come out as TSA approved. The TSA approved knife case.
No, or no, it's going to happen.
You would do with an iPhone case with a Swiss Army attachment that wouldn't make you look a little bit like a knobber. To be using it.
No. Go on, Andy.
No, I think that the community is going to like give it to the airport security from both sides. It's going to be, you know, they make a big show of this theatrical thing about how they're keeping us safe by taking away our liberties. Well, look what I managed to get through airport security. They didn't even care that I had 3 blades in my iPhone case. I wonder if they'll have a comment about this. I bet they will have nothing.
Well, Steve Jobs tried to smuggle a ninja star, didn't he? And that turned bad. So,
on his $40 million Gulfstream?
Yeah, I want to crash it myself.
I bet they'd let him fly the plane if he asked him to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have to ask nicely.
In the back. But Mr. Jobs, you can't fly. In the back. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by, if you're thinking it's been light on news this week, it's been light on news this week. This podcast and all the other network is brought to you by UK2.net. We love them to bits. Why on earth aren't you with them? The service that we get from them would cost me around 480 quid a month for the amount of terabytes we've used. We did 114 terabytes last month, and that's thanks to iOS. The iOS 6 glitch meant that this podcast, one episode, had 500,000 downloads. Which you're guessing is not accurate. We're guessing that too. What does Leo get for Mac Break Weekly, Andy?
Basically, we get paid malt liquor. Cold 45 was a big sponsor in 2003. Gave him like just pallet loads of the stuff. And
but I mean, Leo,
it's nice to get something.
Leo must get about 100,000, I'm guessing, of Mac Break Weekly, and we got 500,000. No, we didn't. But UK2 picked up the bandwidth regardless. They had all of the kicks. We got 114 terabytes. It just suddenly went vertical last month. But our server didn't fall over. No one said boo to a goose. It was all dead and easy. It was great fun. Thank you very much, UK2. And the service that if I'd have been on a normal package, that would have been an enormous payment to come out from me. That's how much they support us. So please, 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 if you like this show, if you like the network, please go and support UK2, because without them, we'd be up Poo Creek and using our hands, because I couldn't afford that at all. They've got some fantastic deals. If you go there, go to our webpage first, britishtechnetwork.com, and then click on the sponsors link. You'll see the click through. If you use that click through, we get the kudos for it. And then in there, there's actually a whole pile of codes that you can use, and the codes will get you bucket loads, absolutely bucket loads of savings. Well worth the money, well worth doing it. And I think you'll find actually that the prices are pretty keen as well. So you'll enjoy them. Don't worry. They're great. UK2, please support them because they support us. And also go to our website and you'll find Vote for BTN on there, because we are up for European Podcast of the Year. We've been nominated in six categories. Six shows have been nominated. Mac Show, Big Show, Gamer Show, Media Show, iOS Show, and Photo Show have all been nominated. And we need your vote. So please go to our webpage and use the click-through. If you click on the show logo that's there, each of those show logos will take you through to the voting page at the European Podcast Awards. And it doesn't matter if you're outside Europe. Andy and Kelly, please help us out. Please, 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 sure. Please, 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 please. Yeah,
of course.
I want to win this year. I want to win.
But what do you get?
Oh, we get nothing. I just want to win. What pissed me off no end was I polled more votes than the other two people that were ahead of us when we won third. And it was judge's decision. And I think it was probably one of our less demure podcasts that went forward for their...
So it's one of those contests.
Consideration. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Cool things. DHM, do you want to start us off, pal?
Okay. Little one. Cool little thing for the brand total of £5. It's a little app. It's quite nice. Possibly, yeah, it's worth £5. Doc Spaces, it's called.
All right.
Obviously, the idea is that you've got spaces on your Mac and you can flick through, you know, space, 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 and you can set up your workflow so you've got all of your audio editing apps in one place and all of your email and stuff in another place, and you can organize your life in such a fashion and be super organized. But one thing kind of remains consistent across that is whichever space you're working in, your dock is your dock. But Dock Space allows you to assign different docks different spaces. So you can put all your editing apps in one dock and all your other, and you can whiz along and you've got that.
Excellent. That sounds really cool.
£5.
£5 is good.
nscoding.co.uk.
Excellent, Pixar. We like that one already. I haven't even got that. Well done, mate. Andy, what have you got for us, sir?
Very, very quickly, I've finally thrown in the towel and given up on the podcast app on iOS 6. And so I've been looking at every single podcast catcher that's out there since the last... I haven't looked at these things in like 8 months. I think I seem to have settled on Downcast as my favorite podcast catcher. It's the most... There's some that are flashy. There's some flashier. There's some that are more colorful, have a cooler like playback system. I think the Downcast is the one that if I were the Apple manager who had the checkbook open to actually buy an app to replace podcasts with, it would be this app right here, because it's very, very direct. It's very, very simple. It always damn works. My biggest problem with a podcast app was just that I see it on the list. I've told it to please download episodes automatically, but it just would not download stuff, or would start to download, then tell me, nope, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. Meanwhile, I would switch over to Downcast and then, oh, nope, download it just fine. It's not the internet connection. It's not the server that's hosting the podcast. It's just that the other app was not working properly. So good money spent, and now I finally can get podcasts on my iPhone again.
Yeah, I think we've seen definitely
the iPad
shift.
Version.
But yes. We've seen a definite downturn in the number of people that are subscribing to us through iTunes. I think they're going through Downcast and they're just using the RSS link and being done with it.
And so they should.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone that delivers the podcasting app and expects people to use it really needs to have their face ground into the dirt and slammed repeatedly against solid objects until they get the message that they are
You've got to say that, I mean, how much could Apple buy Downcast for? I mean, a couple of mil, that'd be it. And a developer's going to walk away happy and Apple are going to walk away happy. It does seem a logical decision. But they'd probably want to frig with it and it wouldn't work anyway at the end. Never mind.
Yeah.
Kelly, what have you got for us, girl? Yes.
I have an iPad app that I adore. It came out last year about this time. And it's the app for A Charlie Brown Christmas. And it's sort of like a read-along story. It's like, I think it's like $5. The Great Pumpkin one came out this year, which I thought was very exciting. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And the Charlie Brown Christmas app came out last year. And it's sort of like a read-along book, but it's very interactive. So you can touch on different parts and different things will happen. You get little clips from the actual show. The narrator of the book is the kid who voiced Charlie Brown in the original special. And you can turn on a mode where the words get highlighted as you read them. So it's like an electronic read-along. So for smaller children, that's like a really good feature. And I love the interactivity. At the beginning, there's a it shows the book sitting on a table and the record player is spinning and it's playing the music from Charlie Brown Christmas and it's playing it like it's on a record. You can hear the bacon frying in the background. It's so, so good. I cannot say enough nice things about the application. It is absolutely worth the $5. The second I saw it, I spent about 5 minutes with it, played around a little bit, and then went back and immediately went back to the App Store and gifted it to my sister-in-law so that my niece could play with it too. It's super, super fun. And I absolutely love it from a personal nostalgia point of view. I thought it was fantastic, and it's really, really nicely done. So that's my pick for this week. Excellent. Now that it's officially Christmas time.
Does it begin with like the CBS special intro?
There is skating on the first page.
Oh, it's too bad. Because there are two things. If you want to get the full nostalgia thing, there is something evocative about that. That would precede every CBS special. And then,
yeah, the spinning special does not show up, and I was bummed about that. I was really excited to see it.
I hear that, and I'm like 5 years old on the carpet of like my parents' living room every time I hear that.
Yeah, I can picture the TV and I can picture the rug and everything. I totally know what you're talking about. Like, oh, it's time. It sadly does not have that, but I do love the record player of it. I love the interactivity in the book. There's little different things that when you tap on them, different stuff happens, and it's really, really phenomenal. It's very thoughtfully designed. You can tell that people... It's one of those things where you can tell that people who did it were really into what they were doing.
Good pick. Mr. Green, what do you have for us?
Motion Composer is what I have. So if you are a web developer or something like that, and you want to create a banner using Flash or something, it's a pain in the arse, really, isn't it? But Motion Composer is a really nice sort of drag and drop way of creating banners or full screen promotions, really looking great and slick and things like that. And when you export it, it allows you to export it in either, well, in actually both. So when you put it in your site or your client's site, it will sort it out and make it both Flash and also HTML5 at the same time. So it will detect which browser the client is using and switch between the two. So if you've got like an iPhone or an iPad or something like that, or a Mac, then it'll switch between Flash and HTML5. So it's very good. Motion Composer, quite expensive. I think it's $129, but it's worth every penny if you make a lot of banners and that sort of stuff. It's good.
Excellent.
Like good.
Really,
good.
Really good. Do you say £1.49 there? No.
No, £149.
£149.
Yeah, no, a dollar. So I think about £80. So it is expensive.
You can tell you're working, can't you?
But it's actually they sent it to me as a review copy, but I have used it in anger, and it works really well, and it's good.
You cheap bastard!
Well, I didn't ask them for it. They sent it me.
Yeah righto.
And it would, anyway, it's really, and there's loads of templates as well that you can use to create something really special and charge your client a fortune and pretend it's all your own work.
Excellent.
That's what you want.
The reason I got thrown there with his 149 is that mine is £1.49. So it's a $1.99 application, and it's clone camera. And I got this week, and I've had a play with it, and it is frigging great. For £1.49, basically, all you do is take multiple pictures with your iPhone, and if you've got one of those little glyphs or some little clamp that will hold it, you go and take a picture, and then you sit somewhere else and take another picture, sit somewhere else, take another picture, sit somewhere else, and then you layer the photos, and you outline the picture of yourself that you want to be transported through in all the other photos, and it automatically deletes the background and just keeps the subject copy in there. You go through a bit of a learning curve with it, because you take photos and at the end of it you're like, oh God, I got that wrong. I've taken those in the wrong order and I can see why I now can't put it together. But as long as you shoot from back to front, it will do absolutely amazing jobs at cutting you out. And I've got to say, I mean, I've used, what's the tool in Photoshop? I want to say exclusion, but it's not exclusion. Extract. I've used the extract tool in Photoshop, which is relatively easy to use. This is as simple as paint a rough outline of where the person is, and it figures it out from there. And you haven't even got to have high contrast backgrounds. It really does work amazingly well. And for £1.49, we've had tons of fun. Absolutely tons of fun.
Ah.
Clone
camera. I'm buying it right now.
Yes.
I've also, can I add a quick supplemental in?
Go on.
Was basically on your iPhone and your iPad, the until now, basically the newsstand app has had virtually nothing to commend it, because it's just, why would you use it? But there is a use for it now, and that use is Marco Arment's The Magazine, which is a brilliant subscription full of fantastically well-written articles.
I think that's crap for the price. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think for £1.99, I find that an extortionate price for four articles every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I quite like it, I must say. I do enjoy reading it.
No, there's nothing wrong with the articles. I'm not suggesting there is anything wrong with the articles. I just find the price abhorrent. I can't get the price in my head for four articles. It's crazy.
Maybe it's more like come back to it in 6 months. Like early adopters, it's like technology where early adopters spend more for fewer features, but that allows the thing to build up. I do like the idea of a magazine where individual contributors can simply pitch in ideas for articles. These are like name brand writers who I should say that I have not written for the magazine. I have no plans to write for the magazine. I've not been approached to write for the magazine. This is just my take on it. I would love it if 6 months from now the magazine turned into the sort of thing where people who have something that they were originally going to do as a blog post, let's say for their personal blogs, they can instead send it to the magazine and get some profit participation for how that's used. And if it actually became a magnet for that kind of content, they recently hired Glenn Fleischman of the Economist, and also you know
he's Jeopardy.
Of Jeopardy fame. Really great writer for a whole bunch of different publications as like managing editor. So they seem to be taking more of a business model to it. I do see what you mean. That's the reason why I as a consumer I didn't buy the first couple of issues, because it was like, yeah, I'm not repulsed by it, but that seems like I could spend $1.99 on something else. But I did buy the latest issue because someone recommended an article from it for me. And I really like what they've done with it. Again, I'll come back in 6 months and see if there's more content there.
Yeah.
But I really hope he succeeds with it.
I think it's worth supporting the $1.99 price purely because he has developed this model that says, yes, it is that much money. And one of the reasons why it's that much money is because we are paying the contributors, which, you know, a lot of people would have said, oh, let's just whack in the free content. And, you know, if you are paying for content, then pay for the paid content.
I don't object to $1.99 for paying for a magazine subscription. I've paid for bigger, but what I object to is four articles. And that's what there was in the first episode. Yeah, I'm not paying £4. You know,
it's like when you spend $4 for an issue of The New Yorker, you're getting like The New Yorker. You're getting several short stories and several news pieces and several smaller pieces. Mm. So I definitely see where you're coming from. Yeah, even the cover.
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoyed me as well, just lately. Vanity Fair started doing unique covers. So you get five unique covers with every edition. So you want to buy five episodes of the same magazine. Oh,
welcome to the world of bastards. Comic books.
You filthy, filthy whores. That won't be.
You would say that again and slowly.
That won't be the show title, don't worry. I don't think I will let it through. Where can we get a hold of you? Dr. Happy Mac.
At Dr. Happy Mac. You can do that on the Twitters.
Good man. Thank you very much. Where are you, Mr. Anatko?
On Twitter, you can follow me at Anatko. Try to spell my name, or you can go to Anatko.com. If you can't spell my name, try CWOB.com, which is shorter and more phonetic. Also, I'm starting off my usual holiday tradition of writing a blog post about a different piece of music from the Amazon music store every single day. A, because I like to write about music and I can only do it for about a month at a time. And also because I trick people into clicking the Amazon Associates link at the time of the month when they're basically spending lots of money on presents. So
cool.
I want to buy a new Nikon camera, and I think I'll hopefully be able to do that from your clicking Amazon these links and buying whatever you want to buy off of Amazon after that.
Thanks, mate. Kelly, where can we get you, Mrs.?
You can find me helping Andy buy his camera, because that's one of my favorite things about Christmas time is getting to read the music that Andy writes about each day. And the rest of the time, you can find me on the unofficial Apple weblog doing the Tua.com talkcast. You can find me on Angry Mac Bastards. You can find me here, and you can find me on Twitter and on app.net as Verso.
Thank you very much. And Will, where can we get you, mate?
You can get me at BritishMac.com.
Good man. Thank you very much. We're going to be back again next week. Don't forget to vote for us if you possibly can. And don't forget to come and see us and have some fun next week on The Mac Show. We'll have a great time. Thanks for being here. Let's have a chat room vote. Is it crisps or is it chips? Chips come with fish, crisps come in a packet. Thank you very much, Batwinch. Yes, absolutely. Yes, Pete, but this is the British Tech Network, and unless you call the crisps, we're going to get Sarah to ban you from the chat room. Simple as that. Hello, Mark Shepherd. And I don't know if you guys are going to say this, but that says, there you go, ready salted potato crisps. I have to admit, I did have to search for it.
Coat on, pig freezing in here.
You want to pay your heating bills. Big Russ says crisps, thank you. Besides which, custard creams is where it's at. There is a point there, Sax. Custard creams are gorgeous. Ms. Gamont?
Yes, sir?
How you doing?
Not bad, how about you?
I like the yes, sir bit. That's great. My wife usually calls me names. Hello, Andy.
Hey, there. Sorry about that. For some reason, Skype decided that why would we allow Andy to answer the call on his computer set up in the studio when we could just have it ring through the iPhone?
Yeah, Skype does that. Its priorities are knackered.
It's stupid. The weirdest thing was that the MacBook was actually ringing, but I wasn't getting like the control thing to actually answer the phone. That was only happening on the iPad. It's like, wow. And this is owned by a really large company filled with many, many smart people that have a lot more resources than I do.
Idiosyncrasies, isn't it, I suppose?
Can't spell idiot without idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, idio's in there for a reason. What have you been up to since we've not seen you, mate, for a month?
Busy, lots of travel, had a hurricane, let's see, Thanksgiving, of course.
Yes, yesterday.
Happy Which was like a hurricane of flavor.
I don't get over how British send you guys good wishes for driving us out of your nation.
It was.
We should feel bitter that day.
It's not so
much.
I can't
believe you don't celebrate that you're rid of us.
No, no.
I upset me cousins.
How do you feel about Assassin's Creed 3? Because now an entire generation of kids that was at once indifferent to the idea of the cause of American Revolution is now getting really, really good at shooting at British officers.
Yeah, and PC-wise, it's great because you've got a Native American doing most of the killing.
There you go.
Doesn't get better.
Well, to be fair, you gave him plenty of cause with which to be upset.
I haven't got that far in the game yet.
Oh, well, there you go.
I haven't done Native American cause. That mission's not been... I tell you what, Assassin's Creed 3 really pissed me off because it's one of the franchises I really do enjoy. I don't play a lot of video games at all, but that one I love. And I had 50 minutes yesterday with which to get started on it before I had to go and pick the kids up from school. And after 50 minutes and an upgrade to the Xbox and it taking me through a tutorial on how to run and do all the stuff I already knew how to do anyway, I didn't even start a mission in 50 minutes. And I thought, what a piece of crap.
See, I thought you would have been like more upset by all the cutscenes about, you know, stirring speeches like, remember that the British have no souls. They lost their way hundreds of years ago. Have been floundering in a morass of ineffective empire building and debauchery ever since. We will take liberty because it is a product that is not known to the British or the English.
I think debauchery
is your hated enemy.
Debauchery is underrated, mate. I'm telling you.
Give it a try. You know, the internet is always producing brand new forms of debauchery. So yeah. it's sort of like a company that makes snacks that if you don't like the candy bar that's like the cookie wrapped in nougat with like the line of caramel on the top of it, pretty soon they'll come out with the peanut butter version of it. That's the same cookie but with peanut butter instead of the nougat, and maybe you'll like that just more. And it's that way with depravity on the internet.
And debauchery now takes PayPal as well.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Debauchery.com.
Once NFC takes hold, you'll be able to get debauchery with your cell phone.
Oh, man. Yeah, debauchery is not available on 3G with your provider.
Fortunately, I have rollover smut.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mr. Green, how you doing, sir?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. No. Nice to be here.
You know Andy and Kelly.
Andy, how you doing?
Hello, nice to see you again.
We're just waiting on DHM to get rid of his customer. Damn an inconvenient chap that he is.
His job would be great if it weren't for the customers.
Customer just won't stay under the water. He keeps thrashing and flailing. It's very undignified.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
I'm good.
I am back.
You're back. Good man. Back. Satisfied customer or dissatisfied customer?
Well, customer with monitor, very happy. First customer that came back was a photographer who lent me his Mac and the hard drive died. And he's just bought his backup drive in so that we can restore all his photos to find that he hasn't been backing up to it and he has no backup.
You have explained that's not your fault.
Well, yes, I didn't break the hard drive and I didn't not back my stuff up. So
you only need to add arse to that to rub salt in the wound.
Yes. It's like, you get that, but you do feel for people because you plug the thing in and it's called Time Machine backup drive. You open the backups folder because Time Machine wasn't spotting it. And it's just like a 4K file in there. He'd set it running and he hadn't given it a chance to back up. He plugged it into it and then plugged it straight away again. So, no backup, no photos.
I did that for I don't want to put a downer on this, but I did it for a friend of mine, again, a photographer, and he lost his backup of family photos, and his wife had just died, and he lost all the photos of his wife, and he was really struggling with grief and things like that. And so how important is backup? It broke his heart. He sent it his hard drive across to Ireland, I think it was, to see if they could recover it, but they couldn't recover it.
You've been trying Drive Savers? Did you try Drive Savers?
It was a place in Ireland. It cost him a fortune. But they couldn't do anything for him. Lovely guy. And there we are. You see, that's what comes of not backing up.
It does. Which also brings me, we will return to it later in the podcast because it's one of my picks of the day. But over in US land, where I believe it's Black Friday today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is. Deal of the week, crash plan, 1 year's infinite online backup for your Mac, $1.20.
Really?
Holy wow. $1.20.
How long does it take to get up there, though? Because, I mean, I love the idea of things like Carbonite and that kind of stuff, but I've got a laptop with 1.75 terabytes on it, and in a year, it didn't back the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to back up my whole stuff to it. I'm just going to back up a core. You can select files. I'm just going to back up some core files. But I think, you know, for $1.20, it was free. Every hour, it goes up 10 cents until Monday.
Yeah.
Isn't Crash Plan the one where you can mail them a drive?
Is it?
Wow.
One of them is, and you can, like, so, like, you have a 1.75 terabyte laptop. You went and bought a 2 terabyte drive and copied everything to it. You can send it to them, and then your backup is seated, and you're ready to go.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Does that mean everybody
one
gets
service
it?
Does that. I think it's Crash Plan.
No, that's good service. I just find that the cloud stuff is great. It's getting it up there. If Carbonite had a turbo button where you could just say, right, I want you to just, I'm on a home connection, just get all of this up there now. And it gave you 10 megabits a second up, and overnight it just put up, you know, a terabyte or something. That'd be fantastic.
Aye, aye.
What?
The facial hair.
Oh, have you not seen that before? It was here last week, mate. It's like bang, it suddenly came.
But it's
taken me 4 weeks to get this far.
It's good. I mean, it's good. It's good.
I've been told it suits me, which is nice. So,
yeah, yes, yeah.
It's pissed the wife off no end because she's saying it's coming off at the end of the month, right? For after November, it's coming off, right? No. Well, people have said it looks nice.
I think it does.
Take it off.
Doesn't look very great either.
You cheeky bastard.
How old are you, Ewan? Older than me? Or
I'm 46.
Ah, you're older than me. I'm 41.
God, I remember 41. That's when I started pulling muscles. See, Andy, I long for a set of mutton chops to go with this like Andy's, but I had to shave this bit away because it made me look really old. I look like a granddad with it in. I just can't grow. I mean, those mutton chops, dude, they are. Have you ever heard of John McCririck?
Name's familiar, but I can't associate with anything. No.
John McCririck is a racing commentator, and he's a complete arse. Don't think of this as any other reason, but he's the only person that's got a set of mutton chops that I think rival yours. And don't ask me how to spell it for a Google search, because I haven't got a bloody clue. McCririck.
I think it's rather nice. If you stick your head really close to the camera, right, does your body get proportionally bigger?
Hey?
Well, if I stick my head like that, right, so I've got a massive head on the video, does the rest of my body grow to match it or not? Or if I come back like this, does my body now get smaller?
Well, you've got to bear in mind, you see, that being a fat bastard, I shoot from above, and that way it keeps me double chins down.
I've got a lot of double chins.
If you get like that, then you're in big trouble.
I'd like to sell a few of my double chins if I could.
Massive head, tiny body. There we go. We've got a show title. We haven't even started. Andy, you know much about Hire, this smartphone OS?
Not much. Okay. I mean, I don't really have any.
Is this an Andy and Atco not much? As in, like, I can talk for like an hour and a half, maybe nonstop without a breath, but no more than that.
I can open up a reserve of arrogance that would give the impression that the things I'm actually making up are actually quite authoritative.
That's what we live on that.
Well, you're making me work on a holiday weekend.
I'm okay? sorry, so, man.
I'm sorry.
This is work.
This is exactly why we bounced your ass right off of this whole comment. We put up with it, and finally said, okay, you know what?
No more work on holidays.
We're trying to go to the mall,
and we're keeping the tea and the infrastructure.
Okay, fair enough then.
In Boston, we're still trying to figure out how the road system works. Nice job, General Gage. Way to take control.
Mate, that is our road system. What you've got is your old quarter. That is the whole of England.
It's always, that's why the first time I was in London it was so familiar, because this is no joke. I was like 12 years old before I understood what the concept of a city block was, because growing up in Boston, like, there are no blocks. There's a sort of a straight bit, and then there's like a big triangle, then there's a curving around bit.
Yeah.
What do you mean go up four blocks? There are no blocks. No,
I mean, you look at London, and there was a great, most town planners, if you're saying that the roads are too narrow, what do? Well, you widen the roads. Well, you can't. There's freaking buildings in the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the roads are built over, and some of the buildings actually lean over and touch at the top. Form an arch. It's just crazy. Most of Europe's like that. Horrible place.
Didn't I read somewhere that those on that list of things that the Great Fire did that was positive, it allowed them to say, okay, I guess we can now rebuild for wider carts and wider vehicles now.
St. Paul's was built because of the Great Fire. Yeah. What's his name? Wren.
Wren, yeah.
Yeah. A good portion of the famous parts of London are built by Wren as a result of burning everything down. So you see, so in some ways, there's good parts to burning things down.
Is that was that your defence on that arson charge that year?
That's another possible shit.
Well, I'd like to quote, Your Honour, if I may, I'd like to quote Sir Christopher Wren. There's good parts to burning down.
Yeah, that's right. That's on his tombstone.
Also, it prevented another Oasis reunion, I read.
Oh, well.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Now we have proof.
It was Chris Wren that designed the Whitehaven town layer. Are we talking Whitehaven as in the northwest? Good blimey.
I know that big building just off the Tottenham Court Road, if Hitler had won, that would have been his headquarters. And also Bridge North as well. Just on the road.
Bridge North would have been Hitler's headquarters.
Yes.
Did they really? There are documents that actually show here's what they're planning to set up.
I wrote his diary a few years ago and published it to the Times. It was quite a good ruse, really. So I made up. No, but it's true. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
I can't believe that for the whole of England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland, Hitler's got his sights set on Iron Bridge.
It's not Iron Bridge, Bridge North.
Bridge North.
Look it up. It's true.
What do I Google there? Hitler loves Bridge North. Hitler loves Bridge North.
Well, it's a nice place. Why not?
My rugby club's playing at Bridge North this week.
They are then.
Okay. I'll be sure to look for the Hitler landmarks as we go.
that does show a certain Mitt Romney scale of confidence in victory.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But he picked his point before it. But tell you what, we've got the last laugh, haven't we? Ha ha!
Also, I bet Hitler didn't write a concession speech either. Or no. maybe getting a shot in a ditch covered with gas on fire was actually his way of saying, I concede victory, World War II. That was a time in which we should all join together in creating a positive transition.
He did have some
ideas, so... You can just imagine him sitting up there in the eagle's nest, can't you? Planning out where he's going to put his sun lounger in Bridge North, and his general's going, can we feed the troops on the Eastern Front first?
He joined him in November, though, isn't that? That's rather nice.
I did think about that, having just a straight one here. But mine doesn't meet in the middle. I'd look crap.